Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about supporting young people as they transition locally.
We've been talking through some of the transitions your young people might experience after high school. One transition that has increased in the last few years has been young people who are continuing to live at home after high school. Recent studies tell us about 58% of students pick a college within 100 miles of their home. And I see this more in our students too. They're really thinking that maybe closer at home, schools in their state, maybe can I do some community college, right? And so it might be because they're entering the workforce or they're choosing a community college before they go to a four-year institution, or they're going to a local college that allows them to save some money. And while the financial benefits of this could be great, doesn't always mean that youth ministries and adult ministries are prepared to help young people transition as they get cared for in the congregation as they make that transition.
Absolutely. And healthy youth ministry, a young adult ministry can do a lot for young people by engaging them with God's word, helping them to develop Christian relationship with peers, and also having a specific program to support them in their faith walk. As we heard, we hear this question probably a lot in our office, and it was part of our research too that we did a number of years ago, that fewer congregations maybe have a vibrant young adult ministry. And in older teens may struggle with their place and finding that really connection with their congregation, that they may feel too old for youth ministry, but too young for some of the adult programming.
So joining us today to discuss that transition is Pastor Sean Davis. He has been serving as the missional pastor at St. Paul Lutheran in Fort Wayne and is transitioning now to be the sole pastor at Praise Lutheran in Fort Wayne over the next few weeks. At St. Michael's, he was in charge of young adult ministry and missions, but has also been in charge of high school and junior high ministries for times, helped navigate COVID lockdown, and helped young adults and their parents transition in different seasons. He's a certified ICF leadership coach. His wife and him will be celebrating 20 years of marriage. She's a math teacher at a Lutheran school, and they have three kids, a seventh grader, a freshman, and a junior. So you've got youth ministry going on in your house.
We're in the thick of it.
So we got to hear a little bit about you briefly in the intro, but maybe tell us something more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and things that bring you joy.
Yeah. Through the years here at St. Michael, we've been here for 9 years. It's been quite a journey, if you think about what has happened in those 9 years. And so I've been able to step alongside youth workers and then at times take over that program, not take it over, but make sure it's maintaining and running when we didn't have someone there. And I think some of the joy that comes in that is just building those relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So now some of those people that I was doing confirmation with are doing the college thing and graduating seniors. And now it's, you know, trying to help them navigate new season of getting a career and trying to figure all of that out. Or they've stayed local, like we're going to kind of talk about, and they've just leaned in to see how they might fit in at church and what kind of things we could resource them with. So, yeah. It's been a joy.
Awesome. Well, one of the things we love to ask our guests is to talk about maybe their own junior and senior high school years. Can you maybe share for us how Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to keep you or bring you close to him or the church?
Yeah, I spent junior high in Burke Burnett, Texas, small little Texas school, and got confirmed, one of five. I actually tell the story of my confirmation to all of our confirmation classes because it was kind of one of those things that you cringe at where they have five young people up at the front of church and anyone can come in and ask any questions.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was
it's so intimidating at all.
Exactly. and then freshman and sophomore years of high school, I spent in Okinawa, Japan, some really formative years. And one of the things I think about in my faith formation is actually our youth leader back in that day, Todd Tillipa, right? He just picked me out of crowd and said, okay, you're going to be a leader. And so my freshman year, I just kind of got put in with some leadership small groups and just took me under his wing, which was amazing and just really molded me. Then I spent my junior and senior year in Puyallup, Washington, and a Cascade Christian. I let my Lutheran lens shine through as I was at this non-denominational school. it was great. Yeah.
That's great.
Awesome. So what do you love about working with young people and the parents in your congregation and in your community?
I love hearing their stories, right? They're going through so much more than I could even imagine when I was in their shoes. And so to be able to just listen and help them feel heard, because that's one thing that is really missing right now, is our young people really have a sense that no one really cares or listens to them. I think that's the technology that's in front of them all day. Mm-hmm. You can be interacting with people, but not feel heard. Mm-hmm. And so just putting all technology away and just listening is a unique thing. And I've been blessed to do that with them, and actually kind of coach parents on it too. It's a huge thing, to find connection and time in that. Yeah.
Absolutely. We've been talking about in a series now of helping young people transition to that next step in life post high school. And parents are such an important part of that, because that's one of those bridges that are obviously going to be there in their life as they make that transition. What are maybe some of the key issues you've seen, either positive or negative, or things that young people are wrestling with as they make that transition post high school into whatever that next step may be, whether it's career, college, staying close to home, moving away? What are those things that you've maybe seen?
Yeah, we're in a unique environment in Fort Wayne where people, they might move away, but most of the time they're moving back right after school, because they want to go and get a job wherever their parents were, or like in our Lutheran school system, in the school they graduated from and things. Then we have others who are staying either to do what they might call, or what their parents might call, a gap year, mm-hmm. or they're doing vocational work. And I think young adults connecting with young adults is one of the things that we don't see very often, right? Mm-hmm. And we see it more with people who move into the community than we do with people who are from the community, mm-hmm. which is kind of unique. So I think one of the struggles we see here is just how can you create environments where young adults can meet young adults and just hang out? And how can that lead into some spiritual growth pieces, mm-hmm. small groups or devotions or things like that? But starting with the fellowship aspect of it, people are really keyed in on lunches and coffees and one-on-one, but how it's difficult to gather a group together and do some formation in that way. We've tried lots of different things. It's still a challenge. I think it's a challenge for everyone, just mm-hmm. Wherever they're at.
Yeah, so we've talked in a couple of the last episodes about young people who are headed away from home. They're going to college, they're going into the military, but more and more I hear young people are staying closer to home, or maybe staying in their home for longer than they had, even in the recent past. We kept hearing about millennials that were staying home, but yeah. I feel like we're seeing that number increase. How is the transition out of high school different for those who aren't moving away?
Well, you talk to them and they talk about how they see everyone leave. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's a unique thing in and of itself, that you're the one staying behind. There's this kind of disconnect that they start to feel, as everyone else's life is moving on, but they're staying put for whatever reason that they're staying. I think some other challenges that they face are, a movement from high school into college, or high school into vocation, or high school into anything, it's a pretty major life season change. Mm-hmm. But if they aren't going somewhere, they don't have a new start for that season. So, like, I can think of an instance where we had a young man who stayed home because he just wasn't sure what college he wanted to do or what degree. So he just kind of stayed home for the year. And people still had him as a, like, punky little junior hire who was disrupting classes all the time. And things. And so he asked if he could kind of get into a leadership role. And someone said, well, no, because you're too disruptive. It's like,
what?
Like, what? Wait a second. That's him in junior high. Yeah. He's made it through high school. Yeah. He's, you know, he's this 19-year-old guy. He's going to, you know, his life has changed and seasons have changed. So I think they also deal with that a lot, sure. Where people remember them from years ago. And yet so they kind of have the persona that in people's minds hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. And so you're wrestling with that. I think that's one of the things I see more and more. And sometimes it's that, like, people don't remember the junior high, like, rambunctious kind of thing. But other times it's like, in high school, right? This person flaked out on this activity. So they must not really care about wanting to be a part of the group or, you know, and it's just not fair, where if you go somewhere, you get that whole restart in that kind of realm. You get to be who you are in that place. And so I think that's a unique challenge that I've seen, and even more recently kind of picking up with people.
Mm-hmm. In that, you kind of talked about maybe one of those difficult times when, again, the memory and the history can maybe be a difficult time. Where have you maybe seen where the church has been a welcoming community or a helpful community in helping young people make that transition from, again, post-high school life into whatever that next step might be?
Yeah. When there's mentoring that can take place, right? So taking young people who are in those transitional seasons and seeing that, you know what, this young man actually could potentially be an elder in the future. What happens if we pair him up with an elder now and kind of take him through some leadership stuff and walk alongside him? Often young adults want to be a part of something, right? They want to not just sit in a pew and listen and then go home and it not impact their lives. They want to ask the question, well, what about me? Or, you know, what am I supposed to do with this information? And so, if you can help them find places and spaces to ask those questions, especially of a generation older than they are,
right.
they kind of get solidified in to the DNA of the church and say, oh yeah, I'm a part of this. Like, what's it look like to have, an apprentice elder or a 19-year-old on your church council, right? Oftentimes that can create a lot of anxiety for people who are in those roles, but then you just ask them to sit down and have a coffee with a young person that you have built trust with, and there's an open conversation, and it's like, oh, this actually, okay, this could work. And finding some of those time, places, and spaces to let young adults interact with, be mentored, and grow by just being themselves, mm-hmm. I think allows for that connection and can really have a positive impact on who they are, but also who they become as they grow in whatever season they're entering into.
Yeah. I love that idea of like, hey, they already have relationships there. Now, hopefully those relationships aren't holding a middle school grudge, but that helps you to like already have a comfort level to like step into some of those places. I think can be really, really helpful. Yeah. Are there other, you talked a little bit about kind of that long memory of, hey, I've known this kid since, you know, when. Are there other specific struggles you might see young adults have in the church as they transition from youth into adult ministry?
Yes. I think sometimes our churches get hung up on this is the way we've always done it, and these are the people who have always done it. Mm-hmm. And so they don't ask for help. And I think of sound for our church, right? We have a Saturday night praise band, and we have people who do it week after week after week after week after week. And then they've stepped away, and it's the young people aren't the first that we think about. It's, oh, well, who has done it before? It's not like, can we train someone up? And so I think one of the struggles is, where do I fit? Like, what is it that I could be doing that would actually have added value for my congregation? Right. And, I'm not going to like, if I, as a young adult, I'm not going to kind of poke around and see what a good fit might be. I'm waiting for someone to, throw something out in a service or a bulletin or ask me personally, like that personal invite to come back and learn what it means to flip the screens or to mute and unmute pastor when he's up in front, right? Not hard things, but that gives me a purpose within the service and a way of being a part of it. And I think we sometimes default just to the people we know or the people who have done it before. And so giving them a way of being a part of things that adds that value, I think, is huge in keeping people in the church, and young adults especially, in the church and feeling like they belong.
Do you see, you work a lot with young adult ministry and specifically connecting young people to peers. Do you find that it's hard to get young adults to connect with maybe older adults in the congregation? Because I always feel like it's a bit of a leap to go from like what we do in youth ministry to like now go to the adult Bible study on Sunday, right? Or, how do I work and get to the 9 a.m. women's study that's the only Bible study option?
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a huge struggle, is that transition. And I mean, that transition is even a struggle oftentimes from confirmation to high school, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do you become invitational there? But it's even more of a struggle when people finish high school, because our adults are kind of set in their studies and the ways that they're doing things and the like extra stuff they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've taught well how to invite people in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that goes for young adults as much as it does for your neighbor that's like literally just the house next door. Mm-hmm. How do we invite people into what we're doing? And I really think that's where discipleship takes place, right? We're called to be disciples who are making disciples and teaching people as we're being taught. And so I think that's one thing that the church and adults can really take a be educated or be intentional about. It's inviting. You see a young person wandering the hall on a Sunday morning and Bible study has just started, just say, hey, you want to come sit with me? Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, hey, you should be here. Mm-hmm. It's the invitation that I'm going to join you in this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I think is huge, because what young adult wants to be just told, you should go do this. Right? And it changes the whole story if you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be here, and I'd love for you to join me. Because mm-hmm. Then we have something we can talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
You touched on this earlier too, when I spent some time maybe talking about that peer-to-peer connection that happens for mm-hmm. young adults. Like, you've got a lot of young people are maybe going through some same transitions in life. And so they're wrestling with the same decisions, the same conversations. What have you seen maybe the church has effectively done to help and encourage their young adults to continue to keep relationships maybe with friends they already know, or also have that invitation to their own peers who are maybe wrestling with some of these life transitions? Have you seen ways that young Christians or the church itself as an institution have been able to help young people with that?
I'd say yes and no. Uh-huh. I think that the church struggles with that because we struggle with like getting into the nitty gritty of daily life and what people are struggling with. And so, what I've seen often that has worked, and it's worked for me over the last couple of summers, is just, inviting people in for, pizza and some Uno, and you get them around the table and you step away because you're the old guy in the room. Right. And so you step away, they start talking about life, and then all of a sudden they've got things that are in common. They're having in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you follow up with one or two of them. Just say, how did it go? Is there something I can do to help the conversation? Mm-hmm. And every once in a while there is, right? There's some things that they've kind of come up with where they could be resourced or things. So that's a little bit different kind of way of thinking about it than inviting them to be a part of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But that's because you're looking at two different things, right? You're looking at how do you help young adults be young adults in their context and own their struggles with each other. Like, I just started a new job. You just started a new job. Like, how's that going? What have you talked with HR about, you know, those PR things or the not PR, but those personal kind of on the ground level. But then you're also talking about how do you help them find belonging in the church? And I think peer to peer, it's giving them time and space, but the belonging part is that personal invitation, that saying, hey, you know what? I could use some help making coffee this morning. You want to come join me and let's just talk about life. And so I think you got those two kind of spaces, that are helpful and the church can be a part of as, high schoolers are moving into that young adult season and going into kind of what comes next.
So if I'm a youth leader listening, and when I know I have some students who are headed off, but I know I'm going to have a few that are going to be, you know, starting their new jobs, or they're going to be starting at the local colleges. How am I going to help them? What are some practical things you would suggest to help them transition while they're staying local?
Yeah, I'd say create some time, place, and space for them just to be young adults together so that they can share life struggles with each other, be it a small group or pizza and Uno, a root beer tasting, right? You can do any kind of things. Often food. I mean, I love Jesus and all the meals he had with people. And in the book of Luke, right, he sits down with so many different people of so many different backgrounds, and it's amazing. And so just taking that from Jesus and saying, okay, we're going to have a meal together, and facilitating that. And then I think it's also having awareness of the opportunities that are around your church for people to get connected. I think for that season in a young adult's life, but also in general, having an awareness of how you can facilitate some of those connections. And when I say connections, I mean things like getting them involved so they have this place of belonging. So whether that's asking your media coordinator if they could use a volunteer, and then saying, hey, you know what? I've got a guy. Can you meet with them? Can you do coffee and get to know them a little bit? That's the couple who comes in faithfully to make your coffee and set out your donuts, right? Oh, you know what? I've got someone who's an early riser. You want some help? I could connect you with someone who might be able to help you, right? The group of old guys who set out the chairs every Sunday for Bible study, right? Could they use some people and just kind of sit with them after they've set up those chairs and ask about life and invite them into the study I think finding those connections is an important way of making young adults feel like they belong in the church instead of that they're just kind of floating in and floating out. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about grace all the time, and I think, yeah, I got to cover all of this with a sense of grace too, mm-hmm. that says, you know what, we see people, we don't know what to do with these young people. And the grace comes in when you just start trying something and it may not work. That's okay. Keep trying to connect, keep trying to help them have a sense of belonging by giving them added value, like something they can do that adds value to your worship, to your Bible study, to the Sunday morning experience, right? Or if something flops, don't feel like it's the only thing you could do. No, have grace and say, you know what, I'm forgiven, and that was not a good thing, but here, let's go try it again. Let's do something different. Mm-hmm. Let's keep on going. Because different things work for different young adults and different churches, right? We're all in different settings. I think one of the hardest things that I've experienced when I was doing youth or, you know, young adult ministry is, you know, you do all of the work to set up this, what you think is going to be a super cool time, place, and space for them to gather, and no one shows up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're like, you get disheartened and you're like, man, what did I do wrong? Well, nothing. They're just nomadic, and they have so many commitments and so many things going on that, you know what? They're much better if you go like one-on-one and go to coffee. And so, like, have that grace for yourself, but also know that you're covered in God's grace and just keep on trying to connect. And they see that. Young adults of all ages see when you're trying, right? And they have a lot of grace. What was most frustrating is when a church is like, yes, we see you. We don't know what to do with you. And so here you are. Where if a church is like, hey, we've got this going on, we don't know if it'll work, we're going to try it. They're like, oh, they see us and they don't know what to do with us, but at least they're trying. They care.
Yeah.
They care, that's right?
A long way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks so much for sharing your expertise and your insight into how we can care well for young adults. So we appreciate your work, and blessings on your transition to your new congregation.
You're welcome. Can I throw one other nugget out? So I read this resource and it has had an impact on how I do, how I work with young adults and how I've been coaching empty nesters as they're working with young adults and things. And I think it's amazing. So it's called Not a Hopeless Case, 6 Vital Questions from Young Adults for a Church in Crisis. Hmm. It's by Haley Grace Scott, and she really hits on how we connect with young adults as a church. And I think one of the biggest takeaways I have on it is learning a name actually means something, mm-hmm. and helps people feel that belonging. And so the other piece that I neglected to say earlier, but make sure if you see a young adult and you ask their name, write it down so you can call them by name the next time you see them. It means so much. And we've seen this a lot in with some of the people we've been working through this book with, and how it's impacted not only the relationships at church, but also in their workforce and people who are kind of pressing in to learn more about who they are simply because they know their name. And so just a plug for that book. It's it comes out of the Denver Seminary, mm-hmm. and just some great stories, some great connection, and some great challenges for us as we look at young adults and in their transitions and how we can connect and help them find that idea of being seen and heard and finding belonging.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, great. Great resource for us. And we're just grateful for you being able to join us. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
there's just so many things that are going on in the life of 18, 19 year old, making those transitions with peer groups, leaving, changing, new careers, newer things that might be changing. There's just a lot there that congregations can be prepping young people for, but then also walking with them through that as well.
Yeah, it always reminds me of, you know, I did a summer internship, mm-hmm. my home congregation, which was an amazing experience. But walking in one of my first weeks there to lunch where my mom is telling a story about potty training me. And I was like, you can't do it. You got to let it go. I have to be somebody different. I'm trying to be a professional, mm-hmm. right? And how much of those like, oh, well, we saw you when you were baptized, or we saw you as a kid when you were getting confirmed, and you didn't answer that question very well when you were standing mm-hmm. up front, and being able to look at them and say like, hey, no, you have, God has grown you and used you, and you have different experience now. And we can engage with that young person in mentoring and leading mm-hmm. and in peers differently than mm-hmm. maybe we did mm-hmm. when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm. And think about too, like I think sometimes we've talked about this a lot, about how do we get these supportive adults to be a part of that fabric of the life of a young person. And even in these times of transition, to where to be open to like these new heavy questions about new experiences that they are going into with job force, independence, these type of things. And to be able to intentionally step into those times, maybe sometimes really stepping into and being proactive on it, but then also just being a listening ear where they can come and know that there's a trusting person they can ask those questions to and build those relationships is just so important, I think, for those young people making that transition.
Yeah, and I loved how Pastor Davis really emphasized the importance of finding the opportunities for them to lead, mm-hmm. for them to serve, for them to use those gifts, and to step into that space that maybe wasn't open to them as much before. Mm-hmm. Just for constitutional reasons, sometimes you can't do things before you're 18 mm-hmm. or that kind of thing. But to say like, hey, we see gifts and skills, we're going to use those. And that's a great way to keep them not only connected to the relationship, but feeling as though they're living out their vocations and owning their place in the church, which is really important.
Absolutely. Well, again, we appreciate that conversation with Pastor Davis and the many opportunities we've had to be able to just over these last couple of episodes to talk about that key transition piece for young people. Speaking of transitions, before we close, we do have a short programming note and a personal note for one of us. It's a bittersweet recording for the End Goals podcast, as Juliana is taking a call to serve in a congregation at Peace Lutheran in Tustin, California. Juliana served in LCMS youth ministry for over 11 years, managing the Lutheran Young Adult Corps and more recently Youth Lead and Youth eSource and resourcing for the LCMS Youth Gathering. Along the way, she's done incredible work in other aspects of youth ministry and campus ministry as well for the Office of National Mission. Transition is bittersweet for me and for our entire office, as of course, we will miss Juliana, but we are excited for Peace Tustin and God's Kingdom, certainly. And Juliana, I just want to thank you for everything you have done for the youth of the LCMS, parents, church workers, and adults who care for them in the name of Jesus.
It's been a blessing to serve this way and to be able to resource churches. And I'm very excited about the opportunity to use those resources now back in the congregation. But certainly hope to continue to connect with what youth ministry is doing and encourage youth leaders. But it's what a gift to work with Mark and the team here and the people in the Office of National Mission and to have that opportunity for as long as I did. And I'm looking forward to the new adventure in sunny California.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you will be greatly missed, and certainly we will continue to pray for you in this transition and excited to see how God will work for you through you in Southern California.
Thank you. Well, it's okay. Before we blubber, a couple of closing questions. How are you creating space for building relationships with adults and peers for your young adults?
How can your church encourage older adults to mentor younger adults as they face questions about life's transition and new challenges?
And how are you helping to find ways for young adults to lead and serve as they get older? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you walk with all of those in transition, especially young adults, that you can point them to Jesus and God's grace.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youth ministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.